love the diverse programming.
Yeah, I do too. I love that show that plays that music from faraway lands.
Oh, honey, we've got to get up there and help them immediately.
XC Acra 90.7 FM.
Every Friday on WGXC from noon until 2, check out the Sugar Shack Jukebox featuring decades of funk, R&B, rock, pop, soul, and much more. That's every Friday on WGXC after the noon headlines until 2 p.m.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
Good morning. I'm Kevin Factor, and this is Foraging Ahead. I'm so excited today. Joining me in the studio is Deborah Lopez.
That's her.
And Mick Lynch.
How are you, Kevin?
I'm great.
How are you, Kevin?
I'm so excited to have you guys here.
Thank you. You hide your excitement very well.
I am. Yeah. it'll come eventually. You'll see it.
It's
this is me being excited.
Yeah. Well, I've usually seen you on a Sunday evening with a few whiskeys, so you know this is different.
This is
the morning.
It is the morning.
The morning factor.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Thanks. Welcome to the Mick Lynch Show. We're here. We have a pledge drive, Mick. So I got to mention. I get to mention that you can donate to WGXE and keep quality shows like this on the air, as well as all the other shows that WGXE does. If you call 518-697-7400 or go online wgxe.org/donate, and we have... matching gifts. We have all sorts of things. Just call up and they'll tell you what's available. And I'm going to put it out here right now. Are you going to the Hootenanny later this evening?
I think we may be going to the porch.
I know you're going to the porch, which is down at the Spiegel Tent, which is a wonderful storytelling event at the Spiegel Tent in Tivoli. Will you be playing there a little
no,
bit?
No, not playing, but we will be there.
You'll be there supporting
and perhaps it.
Perhaps at the Hootenanny afterwards. So when the choice of words is very important. when you hear Mick's stuff and you like, I would love to see him live, you could actually come down to the Draghaven pub in Tivoli and perhaps
you'd probably hear a selection of the usual covers that I do. For example, Fisherman's Blues or perhaps And It Stoned Me by Van Morrison. They seem to be the my kind of go-tos.
Yeah.
Or I could play one of my own and no one could play along with me.
Yeah, well, we can't play along with you anyway. I mean, we're all just faking it when you're there.
Stop it.
You know, but if you call and donate, I'll tell you this. The first person that comes to the Trag-Haven tonight who has donated to WGXE tonight, I will buy you a drink.
Have you got proof that they've donated? Anyone could just come up to you and say, hey, I just donated during that radio interview, and you're like, oh, crap, I owe them a pint.
I'm going to trust the listeners.
Okay.
Our listeners are honest, earnest, committed.
I'm going to say I donated so I can get a drink off you later.
So make a little background for the people who are wondering. Yes.
That music is terrific.
It is. It's upstairs. It's upstairs. Yeah.
I thought it was like background music to our conversation. It's like, sorry.
You hear a chorus of angels soon. Yeah. That's just part of the show.
That'd be my wife.
How long you've been a musician for? How long?
I've been a musician pretty much all my life. I grew up the youngest of nine kids. My dad was a music professor. He taught piano at the Royal Irish Academy of Music in Dublin. And I basically grew up with constant music.
You grew up with constant music?
Yeah.
So that's really unusual for an Irish person.
Yeah. Yes, I believe so. I think it's probably the reason I have tinnitus.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
Can
you say contracted tinnitus? Or do you just develop tinnitus? I think you develop it.
I think you develop,
you develop it.
Yeah, I don't think
you get it from anything.
Well, you get it from sound, so you could contract it from music.
All right.
Yeah.
Technicality.
I'm just going deep here.
Take a seat.
That was when I was 17. I was actually at the first Oasis gig in Dublin.
Oh,
I was 17.
Wow.
And I was right up the front, and I was never at a live gig before, and of course, no one had earplugs.
Oh, no.
And it was just a disaster.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was way too loud.
Yeah.
And I've had it since then. Like, it's not troublesome, but, you know, if it's a very quiet night and the crickets aren't chirping.
Really,
it's there.
The ringing in the ears.
Yeah.
Well, I think a whole generation of people has developed tinnitus with the earphones and.
Yeah, I'd never use headphones.
You'd never use headphones.
Yeah, because for that reason. Mm. But anyway, sorry. Going back to my.
So you've been playing music all your life.
I grew up playing violin and viola.
No way.
Yeah, and then piano as well, on and off. I wasn't very good. My dad used to teach me, and I
that's hard.
Yeah, well, my dad used to be a very, like a recital pianist, like a performer.
Oh, Lord.
And unfortunately, he developed a shake in his hand, and he had to go into teaching then, and he resented that he was a teacher.
Ooh.
As opposed to a performer.
Ooh.
And that came out in his teaching from time to time. And especially with his son, you know. And I love the man, Lord rest him,
as
he
do,
died last year.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
But, man, he couldn't have been my teacher.
Oh, no.
So that piano wasn't on my radar.
Yeah.
I play now for the love of it, but not back then.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's some.
Yeah.
There's some difficulties when you're teaching your own child something.
Yeah. But anyway, things got better. He wasn't my teacher anymore. And then I picked up guitar when I was 17.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
I should have picked it up when I was four. Because I fell in love with it.
Is that right?
Well, it was from listening to The Who, strangely, that I picked up guitar. So the reason
which album?
The Greatest Hits.
No.
Yes. Well, it was actually Won't Get Fooled Again was my favorite. Oh, and Pink Floyd, Wish We're Here, because that was an easy one. Ding, 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 ding. You know, I can do this. And then I realized I could actually sing, which was cool.
I was going to say.
I started singing at, well, I really started singing at age 21. When I started doing cover gigs in pubs in Dublin, with my now bandmate Kevin, also.
So you didn't get any singing training?
No, I just maybe it's just from growing up with music and I don't know hearing the charts. I was always able to sing straight away.
And you would just like sing along with all this stuff. I mean, I would.
No, I'd sing along and I was always able to sing and I could hold a note and maybe that's it. Yeah, it just came easy to me, the singing when I was 17. Or it initially the whole performance aspect of it and the confidence really came when I started doing the pub gigs.
Wow.
You know?
Nice. I have a theory, which doesn't bear too much scrutiny, but I have a theory that the best singers come from really loud families.
Yeah, possibly.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I didn't know your family or anything like that. But just to be able to just pull that breath and just like shoot it out of your mouth is you have a remarkable voice. So
well, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. As you say, as you tell me to pull the mic closer. Yeah, just a little bit closer. I can't hear you.
Well, you know. It's,
well, I appreciate that.
Yeah,
thank
yeah.
You. Yeah, thank
and
you.
And so you've been playing, do you remember, and you've been writing music for how long?
I've been writing music since I picked up guitar, is when I started writing songs. And, you know, I was never a lyricist. I was always a melody-driven writer. So the lyrics are kind of they come second to me.
Okay, so
I'd have complete songs with melodies and whistles and you know, structure, and then I'd have to figure out what it's about, you know. So yeah, that's the way it goes.
So you always when you write songs now, you're always the melody first.
Always melody, always chords. I might have a vague emotion, but it's usually very vague.
Mm.
And then once the structure is there, I go, what would this be good to be about?
Huh. You know? Do you remember the first song you ever wrote?
The first song, yeah, it was terrible. It was actually a poem I wrote for my brother. It was called Mozart Laughed, and I put it to music. So my first song was actually the opposite way around to what I usually write, in that I had the lyrics first. And maybe that's why it was so terrible.
How old were you?
The first song I probably wrote, that would have been... See, this the first proper song I wrote was when I was 20. But I was writing. This was the first one I actually had lyrics to.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Fun. I saw Brian Wilson many years ago, and he played the first song he ever wrote, which was Surfer Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, that's pretty good for a first song. And then you listen to the lyrics a little bit more closely, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's the first song. But
yeah.
But the melodies and everything else were just tremendous. Yeah. So let's get a little music going. I'm going to play something from your band, your Guggenheim Grotto.
Well, it was Guggenheim Grotto. We changed our name to Storyman. What was that? 5 years ago.
You changed your name to Storyman.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for Guggenheim Grotto,
you can find Guggenheim Grotto. There's three albums on.
Yeah, no, that's where I got it. I got it, and I was poking around. I found some of your solo stuff too.
Oh, you're the one.
What?
And
I got, you know, that dollar that you're going to get from...
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, how many times are you going to play it? Like 1,000? That's the only way I get a dollar on Spotify.
No, no, no. Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, not on Spotify. I bought it on one of those places you got to download.
And you're going to buy me a drink tonight as well. Awesome.
I know. Boy, this is an expensive show. So we're gonna be doing a lot of music today and chatting with Mick and Deborah, and they're also here to promote a series before we get onto the music. Deborah, you want to talk a little bit about the series before
the listening room?
The listening room. Yeah.
So, God, years ago, I'm a photographer in the city,
mm-hmm.
and I loved music, and it was one of the times that I went, and I think I saw Ray LaMontagne, and one of those times that you realize, like, why am I always the person standing next to the drunk girl when you were so excited to see this musician and there's just some ridiculous, you can't pay attention, she's disrespectful kind of thing. And being such a lover of music, in this kind of cool photo studio I had back on 37th between 8th and 9th, I'd built a little bit of a stage kind of thing so that my clients could be raised up a little bit so that the windows would be the full length of their body. And so I ended up having a stage in my photo studio, which was this concrete floor open loft. And I thought, you know what? I have enough people that are great lovers of music. If I brought in some of my music friends, and this is when MySpace was, you know, the huge thing, and you could really be in contact with the musicians that you loved. I just started getting people to come in, and it was amazing. We called it like a bring a bottle music night. People would bring a bottle of wine, whatever, a few friends, and there were rules. You couldn't talk. You couldn't be on your cell phone. We do several like 15-minute sets, and then in between the artist would come and talk to you and whatnot. But they were great money makers for the artists. Everyone paid $10 and gave it directly to the artist.
So kind of like a modified little house concert.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was one of the first ones. We actually got a write-up in the Village Voice as being the new kind of venue. It was
very
cool.
Did that ruin it?
It didn't, because you still had to have an invite to get to my place. It wasn't advertised. It was just talking about, you know, the new kind of music venue.
Is that where you met Mick?
No. In a way, yes, because I met Ingrid Michaelson through those music nights. Mm. She played one of my my studio shows, and later she and I went to Ireland. We were both single at the time, and it was kind of funny.
You met him in Ireland?
No.
There's more.
Here's the funny story. So we were both single, and we thought, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, what if we met some cool guys in Ireland? This will be great. So we were staying at this beautiful cottage somewhere down in Cork, and the owners of the property said, listen, I know you're a musician, they said to Ingrid. There's a really great band that's playing tonight at the local pub. You all should go. So we got all dolled up. We were so excited to go, and expecting like traditional Irish music, something, you know, beautiful voices.
Were you expecting like Jared Butler?
I was expecting you. I was expecting you. But what we got was this really awful cover band.
Oh, no.
Like teenage boys playing American covers really badly. And it was just, it wasn't what we were hoping for.
Right.
So cut to a few years later. We're in New York, and Ingrid says to me on another one of her first major American tours, she said, listen, do you remember that band? I have a surprise for you. Remember the band that we saw in Ireland? You know, I have an opener to my show. And I said, no. Oh, no. Like, that's a terrible idea. And she says, no. Remember that band? Remember who we wish they would have been?
Right.
These two guys, if they were these two guys, we might have never left Ireland.
Really?
Is what she said. And she says, they're both really amazing, but something tells me that you're going to like the big swashbuckly one. And truly.
I think that's me.
Truly.
You're the big swashbuckly.
Well, Kevin is also super awesome. Kevin May, your bandmate, is also a dear love and such a friend and, you know, just one of the most wonderful guys. Mm. That truly, it's like picking between like a diamond and a ruby. Like, they're both such great guys. I got the diamond, but yeah. it was really wonderful. So that, in a sense, is how I did meet Mick, and it was through meeting Ingrid through these, you know, house shows. And now we, you know, moving up here, we wanted to start doing that again. So
right.
The Listening Room was born.
So the Listening Room has a, you know, it's pretty much a house concert vibe.
It is.
In Murray's gorgeous sanctuary, as you know, it lends itself to amazing vocals, and it's just perfect. When we went in, we actually saw the porch there. And I had gone in. There had been a couple others that I had missed. And it was that one that I went in and I said to Mick, this is it. We've got to do this. Mm. And literally the next day, I was ordering bags, arranging a meeting with the venue owners and managers and calling up friends. And really, I think it's a bragging rights kind of thing of being able to show off who we know. We know some really talented people.
Yeah, we're
like
going to get some
genuine talents.
Very, very great, great artists coming up from the city and elsewhere.
And this community, like, completely supports it. You know, that's the great thing. Everybody loves you. You were there for the first.
Oh,
show.
Oh yeah, no. I was blown away. Well, you know, I was almost as excited as I am now. Yeah,
wow. And it's pretty early as well. Well, on July 13th is Jenna,
yes.
Jenna Nichols.
Yeah, yeah. So Jenna Nichols,
and we're going to play a little of her.
Fantastic.
After we get to mix some of Mick's stuff, but Jenna Nichols, yeah, you guys did a song last Listening Room session, and
she's
knock my socks off. I haven't worn socks since.
I noticed.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it's radio.
Yeah.
she's a knockout. She's one of the most stunning voices I know.
Yeah. It makes me sad. It makes me sad.
It makes you sad.
It makes me sad. It makes me sad that there's so many talented musicians around here.
Maybe radio isn't for you, David. Or Kevin. Kevin?
No,
David?
I hear you, Kevin.
That there are so many talented musicians around here, and that they can't support themselves just doing their music, and that they can't, like, you know, that that isn't sufficient in, anymore in this country. Like mm-hmm. when you were in Ireland and you saw that, you saw those lads hacking apart American pop tunes. And I mean, the thing about Ireland is there's just music everywhere.
We saw the one band that wasn't you saw, great. The no, one, probably,
Ireland. I lived there for several years, and no, you didn't. I mean,
yeah, you probably didn't.
but there is just a level of quality that everybody you see has. And it seems, at least during the tourist season, the high season, that it's really possible to kind of scratch out a living, you know.
But in the States, all over, I think. But for example, record labels used to have development deals.
Yeah,
they do not anymore.
No, it's
every label. I think each major label had somewhere around 500 development deals.
Mm.
Do you know how many development deals there are now?
I'm gonna guess. Zero? Wow.
We were just talking about this on the way up.
That's an
labels want
drop.
To jump on a moving train.
Yeah.
Great. But when there's no more trains available, like, how do you do that? How do people, you know, how are people able to do that?
Right.
So really, that's as much as it is us bringing great music to our neighbors.
Mm.
I would like to think of this as being a filling station for our friends, where they can play to an attentive room.
Mm.
And such music appreciators are in this room. And to get that afterwards, it was so wonderful to look over and see, you know, Mick and Kevin after that show, really having that, wow, there was just, you know, 100 people here listening.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get that nowadays. You're playing in a pub. You're playing where, you know, there's drinks and all that. Great. And we do have drinks at the listening room. But it's a whole different kind of, it's the listening room.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important to have that, where artists can feel respected, where, you know, in a time when you just don't.
Mm. Yeah. And, well, is maybe later if there's a number that people could call?
We have a Facebook.
You have a
page.
Facebook page.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And could artists perhaps audition for that?
Well, we have quite a few friends, but I would love to have a listen to anyone who wants to submit. Okay. And yeah, absolutely. We're booking these around every 8 weeks. So I think one of the next artists we have after Jenna is Mike Doty. Do you remember Soul Coughing from the 90s?
No.
Oh, he went on to have a solo career. He's fantastic. He's another really great guy. And he's another talented guy
that you can hate.
No, I don't hate the talented people. I mean, not until I get to know them. But
yeah,
but
it took us a while. But
no,
yeah.
just the fact that, you know, you got to get a real estate license, or you got to do other things like that. Which I totally respect. I totally respect, like, having to, you know, like.
Yeah, I got the real estate license.
Oh, did you?
I did. And I work with Northern Duchess Realty in Rhinebeck for all your real estate needs.
I don't think you can say that. You can't do that. I'm
going
to have to go quick pledge.
Someone cut in there?
So we're on a pledge drive, and I promise we're going to. You said you weren't going to sell me real estate.
I didn't.
We got a 518-697-7400 or online at wgxc.org/donate. You can afford to donate a little money to this radio station. You good-looking, swashbuckly people
out there.
Oh,
you talked to me. I thought you were talking to the listeners. I'm so sorry.
I'm just using you as inspiration. This radio station means so much to this community, and you mean so much to this radio station. This radio station, did you know this radio station has broadcast remotely from Chatham High School?
I did not know that.
No.
Yeah. It's also from Spotty Dogs, Books and Ales, and the Columbia Memorial Hospital, and the Greene County Legislature in Catskill. They go, this radio station, town halls, libraries, Chatham Library, Cairo Library, schools, right? You got Hudson High School, right? Caro Durham High School, Catskill High School. This radio will go anywhere and just do about anything.
Can I ask a question? What does the GXC stand for?
G stands for green, and C stands for Columbia.
The X?
Yes. So we're going to...
It's a radio thing.
I know it's a... Did you know that west of the Mississippi is K's and east is W's?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that took me a while to figure out when I first came over to
the
States.
Do you know why that is?
Just to make life easier. I have no idea.
I don't know. If you know that...
It does remind me of a story where I was on a rival station across the way in Woodstock, and I called it WSTD on the air.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Well, communicable communication, it's yeah. similar.
See, yeah. I didn't say its name there.
All right, so this is probably the song you're most famous for, and I say that because that's the only one I know.
Which is it?
This is from your previous incarnation before Story Man, which is your current group. But this is I got this from a Guggenheim Grotto album that I
awesome
paid for.
I have no idea what it is, but go for it.
You do.
Thank you. but wisdom hasn't found me yet.
All right, that was Wisdom by Guggenheim Grotto.
Still has not found me.
Wisdom hasn't found you yet.
No.
I love that song. It's haunting and some really great lines.
Well, that was me, and Kevin May is my bandmate in Guggenheim now, Storyman.
Mm.
He wrote the lyrics for that one. That was another one where I had a song structure and all, and like literally I come up with parts for a song that isn't even finished. You know, bass lines and you name it. And then he came on board and wrote the lyrics, and we worked well like that.
Yeah. No, it seemed like watching you guys perform together, and it was like it'd been years, hadn't it, since you guys had played together?
Yeah, it was 1 year. Anytime I'm back in
years.
Ireland. Yeah, years.
Years. I mean,
anytime I'm back in Ireland.
It didn't even seem like he recognized you, but
He kept calling me Mark. It was very off-putting. But anytime we're home, I'll do a gig in Dublin and Galway with Kev.
Yeah,
it's good fun.
But bang, you just went seamless right back into it.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, that's what it seemed like to us.
Because
we always
dread, like, oh, we need to rehearse. We haven't played in so long, and then we'll sit down and like our touring days just come flooding back, and we're
sure.
Like, oh, I remember it. Yeah, it's sure, fine. Sure. Okay, next one. Oh yeah, I have this. Yeah, go on. But you know, it's good.
Yeah. And so, do you got a song that you could do perhaps live?
I do.
Yeah.
I wrote this on my first solo record called Aliens, Ghosts, and Lovers.
Oh. I pulled a song from that as well.
Oh, I hope it's not this one.
No, it's not.
This one's called Machine.
Oh no.
Okay. And I did it, when I moved up here. I hadn't got my real estate license yet, and I was kind of off tour, and I was looking for stuff to write about, and Kev had gone back to Ireland. He went back permanently, and I was living here permanently. So
right.
I said, you know what? I need to get my lyric chops down. So this, I'm very proud of this album because it was the first one that I did all the lyrics. Yeah. Well, I do write with Debs.
I didn't realize
also,
that.
Yeah, she helps me a lot.
Not just a muse.
I pinball it. He writes it. He sometimes comes with a block of marble and he gets stuck, and I see in pictures, so I make
sure.
him tell me what he sees, and we kind of go from there. And I get him to find it, but he has it.
Well, it is there in an overall, like you say, block of marble. I will come over and say, hey, I've got a block of marble. I need help, you know, because I know I have a really good idea, and it's just hidden behind the initial lyric, you know. It needs to be fine-tuned.
Right. And, yeah, something you get sort of placeholders and then.
So we call it pinballing, where she's just, you know, pressing the buttons on the side. No, a bit, you know. It eventually gets there.
You find it.
I don't know what you're looking for, but it's to the left.
That's wonderful. And, I mean, certainly, yeah, like every time you, I mean, when you move to a new place, I think you were saying that when you guys moved up to the Hudson Valley, like 3 months, he basically wrote and recorded an album. But, I mean, it's just being in a new place and just, like starting a new chapter in your lives, and just you find that you just get wired in certain situations where just.
To be honest with you, we lived on Flatbush Avenue in Brooklyn. Our backyard was literally the Barclays Center. The artist entrance and the stage entrance, and
it was a nightmare.
It was like the cargo entrance for the Barclays Center, this huge monstrosity. So it was always noisy. The traffic, so you get the noise at the back, you get the noise at the front. So we were there for 5 years.
Yeah.
And then moved up here, and we were literally in the cabin in the woods and going, oh my God, it's so quiet. And I was
Neither
tinnitus.
Did I. Yeah.
I guess that's one of the positive things of living across from the Barclays Center.
So I suppose I had to play music just to, oh my God, stop.
You needed to fill.
And it just felt very peaceful, and I felt very unstressed, and for the first time in a lot of years. And I know you were the same.
Mm. Yeah, I moved to New York when I was 19. So
From where?
From Lansing, Michigan. Yeah,
wow.
Midwestern girl, sort of. Yeah,
and you're a New Yorker.
I'm a New Yorker now. Damn it! But yeah, we love living up here. I still work in the city, but yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing being up here.
and great community. I've met some great friends, and you. the Trackhaven would be my regular. We go to the on the Wednesday night. There's a great trivia night that we enjoy, and obviously Hootenanny on the Sunday, which I can't get to as much as I used to because I no longer live as
you
close
no longer that close
and have a lift,
right?
Or have a ride, as you say here. Do you say lift?
You know, I say lift because I lived in Ireland, and I was corrected enough times by asking someone if they wanted a ride.
And we also say lift for elevator, and I go, oh, where's the lift? And they're like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Oh, the elevator. I'm so sorry. But now we live in Rhinebeck, so it's a little bit further away.
Mm.
And I do like a whiskey, you know, or two.
Mm.
It's very hard to get a cab. I always got space.
We got space. We can accommodate. We can accommodate both of you.
I always have to work the next day.
It's funny. Like, and even though it's just an informal collection of, you know, overeducated hacks, we have scheduled our lives like to sleep late on Monday morning.
Overeducated?
Well, not me. But yeah, the other people. And there's more PhDs in that band than any other band I've ever seen.
Well, the band, like there's a doctor, isn't there?
There's an MD. We got three PhDs. Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Oh, and when you show up, we actually have a musician. So. No. All right, let's hear. What do you got? This is from your solo album.
This was before Trump was elected. All right.
So it has some optimism, or just an absence of anxiety, or is it prescient?
Well, it's funny. I did a lot of research into various things on the internet. I went kind of down the YouTube rabbit hole.
Mm.
I had written about ghosts and spirits, and then I wrote about UFOs. And then I went into conspiracy theories once I was finished with the UFO.
My God,
song.
That sounds like my career in television, to be honest.
What?
That sounds like all the shows that I worked on in television. Oh, really? When I worked in television, yeah. That's why I left television.
Okay.
Yeah. I think because
everyone had it in for you? You had your own conspiracy theory?
Not that, you know, that, and I was like, there's a lot of reasons, you know, but this is the reason I like to say because it sounds cool. When they said we need a treatment for alien ghosts.
Okay.
The ghosts of aliens on planet Earth. Like,
yeah, we're never haunted by aliens.
No, we are.
Oh, we are.
We are. We are. We're haunted. Apparently there are aliens that have been here and then they died. Apparently they have souls or spirits or something like that. And then their ghosts haunt us. So that was the best of both worlds. Best of the, you know, ghost hunting and the aliens. And I'm like, this is...
That'd be a good show.
Fascinating. Yeah, I want to see that.
Souls.
You really want... Oh, God.
I would love to see that. You probably... If it's anywhere out there, you probably saw it. You saw everything.
I don't know if that one got made. That's why I went back and I went into teaching again. And I'm like, I need to sort of have atone for my sins, contributing to the toxic discourse is... like American culture, so that your album was titled
my album was titled Aliens, Ghosts and Lovers. This one was the conspiracy theory rabbit hole that I went down.
Fun.
And it kind of tags this is pre-Trump now. It tags,
well, it
fake
was during
news.
Campaign
it was during
so
campaign.
There was a lot of
it does
crap
tag
going on.
You know, fake news and election fraud and
let's hear it.
Drones.
I hope it will not be very topical for long.
It's essentially about the humanity being anesthetized with their phones and TVs.
I take that back. I think this will be relevant forever.
Yeah. All right, and I could have called it The Lion Sleeps Tonight, but I didn't. I called it Machine.
That's a good name for it. So you should save that and use that some other time.
I have this like Wimbo Way thing in my head as well.
Way up? Yeah.
Okay, shall I lower this microphone?
Yeah, let's get it. Let's do it. I'll play with the volume. All right.
Okay. Anonymous. case they are patrolling us. Perfect cover for spies like us. It's end, it's easy to be evil by remote control. Misdirect, keep them guessing so they don't expect. Give calls so they can't object. Just too easy, it's like fishing in a barrel with an elephant gun. Lion sleeps tonight, unease the tide. Might wanna poke him with a stick to make sure he's still alive. Oh, bow down, touch your screen. Oh, we're just ghosts in this machine. An old card trick, spread them out for you to take your pick. A magic moment and a move so slick. It's a miracle, the only real illusion was you got to choose. Your mind's made up, you heard it from a source you trust. There's no evidence to prove this stuff. Who cares if you hear it loud and long enough? It must be true. Lion sleeps tonight, anesthetized. Might wanna poke him with a stick to make sure he's still alive. Oh, bow down, touch your screen. Oh, we're just ghosts in this machine. 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 We're just ghosts in this machine.
That's got to be worth a donation. At least, this is, you could like, if you're listening to this show, rather, you know, in addition to my blathering, you just got yourself out there, just a lovely little concert in your car, in your living room, or on your porch, or yeah. Thanks for that, Mick. That was delightful.
I really enjoyed singing.
It's
rare I sing this early in the day.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So if you do want to pledge, if you want to just validate my existence and you know, help keep me on the air and all these other great shows that we have. Battlefield Earth, you ever hear that one? That one's great. Battlefield Earth is dynamite. And there's so many others that I can't recall right now because I have goosebumps listening, you know, to that.
It's chilly in here, all right.
518-697-7400. That's to donate. 518-697-7400 or WGXC.org/donate and keep this, you know, plucky little station alive. We only do this pledge drive 3 times a year, and we have just a shoestring budget, but they do so much. So we're gonna switch it up, and I'm gonna play a little music from
Jenna Nichols.
Jenna Nichols, God, you're really good, Deborah. He's like, he didn't remember her name. Yeah.
We know her. She's amazing.
So we're gonna hear a little music from Janet Nichols, and she's gonna be performing at the Listening Room in Murray's when.
Friday, the 13th of July, 8 p.m.
Friday, 8 p.m. in Tivoli.
In Tivoli,
at Murray's.
Murray's in the Sanctuary upstairs. Gorgeous
Friday
space.
Friday, 13th. Friday don't the be 13th. Scared, people. Don't be scared.
No, don't believe it. So Friday, July 13th, 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock
at the listening
15
room.
15 bones at the door. 15? All goes straight to the artist. Yep.
That's fantastic.
Yep, yep, yep.
That makes me less angry about musicians not being able to make.
Everything that we do at listening room goes directly to the artist. We do have a few overhead costs of chair rentals and stuff like that, but yeah, they get
the chair
everything,
rentals.
So,
get you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
Well, there's plenty of artisans here. You know, everybody should make a chair and
bring a
and
chair.
Bring a chair.
Bring your own chair. BYOC.
BYOC.
BYOC. Why didn't we think of that?
Right.
Bring your own beer and chair. Bye-bye.
Or you could do what they did in Elizabethan England and like
behead people.
Let him finish.
Oh, that I didn't. Yeah, that would be that would be a draw.
Right? Sorry. Go on.
No. Sell chair, you know, like you could rent the chair. So it's just the admission. That would be a little, I think people get mad if you did that.
Yeah.
But BYOC, just to cut the overheads. But that's great. $15, that's it,
mm-hmm.
to see some music. We're going to play a little of her, and I'm sure people will go, oh my gosh, I would pay like $16, $17 to see her. And they'd be doing it for just a fraction of that. It's a large fraction, but it's a fraction nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. You're as bad as you can be. You bring the devil down to his knees. Loving you, I know. A little sin, 'cause then I'll go. This is all I've ever been. So tonight, take me dancing. I want some loving and some bad romancing. Daddy, who's your little girl? Yeah, there's nothing more fun than your big bad world. Tomorrow we can set it right.
Well, that sounded like it was straight out of the 1930s.
That's Jenna Nichols.
Jenna Nichols. Here's another one by Jenna.
Faded misinterpretation. won't let me go. In my mind I've lost my way. In your arms I long to stay. Shelter me from the rain under your wing. I'm home again. Save me once, come save again. Show me the way. Show me the way. And my sweet consolation is to have you lay me down with no words of hesitation. Keep my feet on the ground.
Beautiful. Oh my gosh. What heartbreaking song. That's Jenna
Nichols.
Jenna Nichols. My gosh. Like
amazing.
What a range. What a, I mean, from sort of 1920s, 30s kind of
she like runs country the folk.
Country folk.
Yeah, you're
yeah.
going to get a full night of music, and we have some special guests coming that we'll always try to do during the shows anyway. Like, you know, during their show, Jenna comes up and yeah, we've got,
I think I'll be singing that one with her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that would be lovely. Yeah. Wow. So, you know, I'm going to have to actually revise that. I would pay $17.50 to see that.
And chair rental. So you said
and the chair rental. Yeah. Can we go back and do that whole Elizabethan thing one more time? You know, you should do like what the Elizabethans used to do.
Kill a behead?
No. Bear baiting.
All
right. Yeah. Yeah, it didn't work. It didn't work.
Now, is that B-E-A-O-R or B-A-O-R-E?
No, bear baiting. You know, like, when you could go to see Shakespeare, or, like, literally right next door, they would have a bear baiting arena, like, for your afternoon's entertainment.
Is it B-E-A-O-R?
B-E-A-R.
Oh, I thought it was B-A-O-R-E, as in people were nude, and, sorry.
No, that's scandalous.
Yeah. That's
having
we
dogs.
We can't talk about that with FCC guidelines.
Having dogs rip apart a bear that's chained to a stake, that was totally cool, but God forbid you show an ankle.
God.
I know. Dude. Oh yeah. Wow. But I don't love that. It's kind of mean.
Yeah, and then the shock at an ankle.
But to have a choice, you know, in an afternoon as you're sort of strolling by the globe.
I definitely want to see Jenna.
Do you want to see Hamlet? Do you want to see? Oh, let's go to the bear beating. We saw the Hamlet. You know?
Yeah.
But Jenna Nichols. Yeah, absolutely. I would bring my own chair for that.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. We're WGXU. This is our summer pledge drive. We really need you to, you know, and you, we need you. You need us. We need each other. That's what family's all about. Radio everywhere. The number to call is 518-697-7400. I'm going to play one more song by Mick, and that is going to be, you know, worth something, right?
.0.
We'll get another song by Mick. 518-697-7400. Donate whatever you can. Whatever you can. Just give us a call or go to the website wgxc.org/donate. And if you donate and you come up to the banjo player in the Traghaven Whiskey Pub tonight. He should give me a drink for plugging his place so much. But I think that's against the FCC rules too. So if you come out to the banjo player and say, "Hey, I donated to WGXC, foraging ahead."
He's also a cork man, so.
Oh yeah, yeah. Cheap. They are cheap.
Yeah.
Oy.
Hey, Gerard.
Abbott's all right. Yeah.
I love him.
He's a good man. I will buy you a drink. If you come to the Hootenanny tonight, there's a possibility you'll see Mick, and there's a possibility that you'll see me. I will be there. I will buy you a drink. If you say, "Hey, I donated to WGXC, Foraging Ahead. I loved listening to Mick and Deborah, and I tolerated you." I will reach into my pocket and buy you a drink. That's my own